Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. My favorite show. The kind I love the most today, and I'll tell you why. We have a periodical pulled from a peer-reviewed cardiac journal. This is something that's not about holistic medicine, nutritional perspectives on how to, you got it, melt your plaque, fatty arterial plaque. Can it be melted? If you've had those indiscretions in the earlier years where unfortunately you've built up plaque in those arteries, coronary arteries, necessitating open heart surgery, dangerous side effects. You know, in open heart surgery, when your arteries get clogged, what they do is they have to ligate the artery. They've got to take the artery out, throw it away, and then they strip veins in your legs, generally the saphenous vein, and they take those veins and those veins replace the arteries. And that's what bypass surgery is. And when you get a quadruple or a quintuple bypass surgery, because your coronary arteries are plaqued up off a process that without doubt's been occurring for many, many, many years. And if you listen to the show last week, that, of course, should have been told to you long before it occurred, not just on the basis of markers in the blood, but on the basis of tests that show that there's arterial damage. And we went in last week to a lot of these tests. We'll repeat them today. But the point is, when you get plaque and it clogs those coronary arteries or the peripheral arteries or the arteries to your brain, well, if it's to the heart, we do bypass surgery. When you replace a vein and you dispose of the artery, the vein is not elastic. That's the problem. Because as blood flows through that vein, the inelasticity, the lack of a elastic wall, tunica media, the middle wall of the artery, pushes blood. And when you replace that artery with the vein, you don't have that flow. So what happens? You get more stasis of blood. Stasis of blood through the artery is what starts to develop what? More arterial plaque. So a bypass surgery can buy you time, but you've damaged an artery and it's been replaced with something that doesn't work as well. And if you watch people, Bill Clinton's the great example. President Clinton, forget the politics, but that was a good-looking man. That was a president, all right, who in his 50s had his youth. The bypass surgery he underwent. Look at Bill Clinton today. In less than 10 years, Bill Clinton turned into a little old man. Now, that's tragic. That's what happens to people that get bypass surgeries. So the issue has been, watch your cholesterol and all these other markers. And we discussed a lot of that last week. But if it's too late, well, you've got plaque and there's nothing you can do about it. Of course, holistic medicine loves to jump on that bandwagon and tell you that there are all these wonderful herbs that will melt the plaque. I have never been comfortable with that because I've never seen good science behind it. You got to understand, if you work in the nutrition game here, thinking that something like turmeric or garlic or natto or crataegus, hawthorn berry, are going to melt plaque. I mean, that's your dream. Certainly you want to give people nutritional recommendations that will allow plaque to melt for all the obvious reasons. But I never saw great science behind it. And that's always been very discouraging to me, first because a lot of the public's told that there are these herbs that melt plaque and we really don't have the hardcore on it. And that runs all the way to fantasy. And that's a whole other issue. But the point is this, and this is why I love this kind of show, and this is why I hope you listen to this kind of show, and this is why I hope this show distinguishes itself on the public forum from other types of shows. What I love to do is find something in journals, peer-reviewed scientific journals, meaning MDs and PhDs do the research and then publish in cardiac journals or medical journals. And I have it today. Now, we've got a link on the site, and that link is to an article called An Integrated Approach for the Mechanisms Responsible for Atherosclerotic Plaque Regression. Now, this is not just an article somebody thought up. This is something that very, very clearly has been referenced. If you look, and I put the references on the site, if you can click to the full article, and if you're new to the show, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Straighttalk.cc, that's two C's, not .com, and that's two T's, Straight Talk. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is the show, Straight Talk on Health. And what I love to do is find journals, cardiac journals, that will show the science, the hard stuff. Look at the name of this article. An Integrated Approach for the Mechanisms Responsible for Atherosclerotic Plaque Regression. I don't know what this means to you. I hope it means to you what it means to me. What it means to me is that no one should fear a 50% occlusion, a 60% occlusion, a 70% occlusion. If you can understand the dynamics of what it takes to reduce plaque, and you can get on the wagon, so you're going to have to work. You're certainly not going to have to start just downing different herbs to hope that the herbs will help the blood and prevent the heart attack and reduce plaque. You're going to have to understand the mechanism of how plaque forms, and then you're going to have to understand that in the hard science are mechanisms that the body has provided us with to reduce that plaque. Now, for me, if I want to look to where God lives right there. That's the miracle to me. It's not the miracle herb. It's not the miracle pharmaceutical drug. It's the miracle within you, backed by science. And this is why this is my favorite show, kind of show, because I love to pull these things out. I've been looking for this for quite a while. Remember a book called Bypassing Bypass by Elmer Cranston? The book's called Bypassing Bypass. This is a book on the genius and power of chelation therapy and how chelation therapy can melt plaque. This is the kind of thing I'm referring to. For 20 years, I've heard this. I could never find Elmer Cranston. I could never get a recommendation to cardiologists that do it who would stand by it. And even today, I know where to send people to go get chelation therapy in the hope of melting these occlusions. And when you talk to the medical doctors that do it, names I will not mention, and you sit there and you ask them, look, I've got this guy, his arteries are 90% occluded. Do we have a viable shot here at melting the fatty plaque? We're not talking calcific plaque today. I want to make that really clear. Calcific plaque and fatty plaque. But just for your knowledge, it's the fatty plaque that's more dangerous, and everyone agrees with that. The calcific plaque is calcified. A calcified plaque is not the kind of plaque that ruptures. The rupturing of a fatty streak or fatty plaque, that triggers an embolism, meaning a blood clot. And the combination of this massive blood clot and the plaque creates the heart attack or the stroke. I want you to understand that. So kick back on the inside of the artery and understand that if you're building calcific plaque, well, that's not good. And if you check one of my past shows on precipitation, there are types of people that precipitate calcium as hydroxyapatite out of the blood onto the lining of the endothelial wall if the endothelial wall has been damaged and if the variables within your chemistry necessitate or produce a precipitate. Boy, would I be happy if you could understand what I just said. I mean, really take it in. Those of you who have listened to the show now week after week after week, I hear from you all the time. Keep those comments coming because I want to know you're getting it. I'm the first to recognize this show is cutting edge in the sense that it really tries to educate. Not educate to, well, then take this herb, but educate to understand the process so then you can understand how and why you should use the herb and you can understand the limitation of the herb. See, if natural medicine did that, we'd have a better natural medicine. If natural medicine did that, medical doctors, cardiologists, the FDA, et cetera, they'd have less issue with it. But you got to be very careful that you don't marginalize all these complicated mechanisms that can save your life and produce a healing and marginalize them and replace them with simplistic, one-second, one-purchase cures. Because it really marginalizes the power of the herb. Things like garlic and cayenne and hawthorn berry and turmeric with its curcumin, these are wonderful things to utilize as part of breaking down the mechanism through which the body creates plaque. But if you don't understand the totality of the mechanism, did you go out and have your oxidized cholesterol tested at a specialty lab? Did you not sit there like a helpless victim when your medical plan said, well, we're not going to pay for your test of oxidized cholesterol. We're just going to give you a statin drug because your LDLs are up too high. Did you succumb because you didn't have the knowledge? So this is the big picture here. Now let's get to it. That atherosclerotic plaque, the fatty plaque, is a plaque that evolves off a very essential molecule. It's called cholesterol. So it's very natural then for doctors to tell you your cholesterol's high, your LDLs have risen, and therefore we've got to do something about that. Guess what? They're correct. Because wouldn't you understand that the more LDL you have, the higher the possibility for oxidation of that LDL. And that free radical that's produced is therefore going to stick to the inside of your arteries. So there's your payback for your education. It's not good to increase your cholesterol up to 300, to 350, to whatever. It's short-sighted to simply say, well, we don't have to worry about cholesterol because Dr. Steven Sinatra, Dr. Dwight Lundell, Dr. Lod McNamara, and various other cardiac surgeons or internists are saying now that it's not the cholesterol. That's foolish to do that. But your deeper understanding remembers that you can have a very low LDL and most of it's oxidized, and you can have your heart attack. You can have your fatty plaque occlusions. Or you can have a rather high LDL, up at 250 or 275, and your arteries are free and clear. That's because you understand the deeper mechanism at work. I will not let you forget this aspect. It's what drives my show. It's my gift to you. And it's the culmination of a good two decades of asking myself the same questions that you've asked yourself. So there's this cholesterol in the blood, this LDL. If you go to the website, straighttalk.cc, on picture number, there it is, 17, you can see a big ball of LDL. And on picture number 15, I want you to look at picture number 15. If you're driving, of course, you can't. So we'll describe it as best we can. The inner lining of that artery is a bunch of cells. They're called endothelial cells. If those endothelial cells are free radical damaged, smoking, stress, lack of exercise, occupational free radical production, big words for what? You work as a jet fuel mechanic. At LAX, you drive a truck. You own two construction companies and 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're on site. You're not doing the work, but you're sucking it in and breathing it in. In your household, three people smoke. All those reasons that you can have free radicals disseminating through the bloodstream will eat up the inside of that endothelial lining. And that's what you see in the picture there. The endothelial lining is torn up. Now, if you've got LDLs that are oxidized on top of it, now you've got Velcro, meeting Velcro in the blood. And that cholesterol Velcro, that part of the LDL, the LDL is a low-density lipoprotein. You're looking at it on that other picture. Part of that's cholesterol. The cholesterol noogies in there, and that's that big yellow fatty streak. And it lives there with this damaged endothelial lining. So it bloats out. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it starts occluding the artery. That means less blood flow. That means more blood stasis. And eventually, if that big blob of LDL cholesterol ruptures, once it ruptures, it creates a inflammatory response in the blood that's like an explosion. We're laying down fibrin. Fibrin is what? Fibrin is one of the little protein slivers we lay down to create a clot, because the body sees that explosion of this fatty plaque as a threat. It doesn't understand. It thinks it's a big worm or a microbe or some alien in the blood that shouldn't be there. So the immune system, your ever-vigilant immune system, your police department sees this thing, doesn't fully recognize it, doesn't like it, starts pressing buttons, calls in the troops, and you've got the plaque bomb. The plaque bomb is the clot bomb. And the clot is really what does you in. It's not the plaque. It's the clot. That's how we have these sudden heart attacks or these massive strokes. The other thing we'll get is the plaque will get so enormous that it'll literally occlude the artery. And that's another way that this problem goes. Now, that cholesterol then is in part responsible, but it's got to be oxidized. And the oxidation is in response to the amount of free radical. You already know from last show, you're going to start to try some of those labs I mentioned on the show. Even if you have to pay for them out of pocket, you're going to go to the CMB, as in boy lab. I think that's in California itself. You can have your medical doctor run an oxidized cholesterol test. So that's what you're going to do. You're not going to settle for LDL, HDL, VDLD, so on and so forth, and these trendy new tests that don't really get to the guts of it. So that's one thing you're going to do. On top of which, you're going to try some of the better testings. You're going to get the carotid artery tested. You're going to have a waveform pulse test. If you look at the website, picture 22, picture 23, picture 24, picture 25. Look at that, picture 25, the intimal medial thickness of the common carotid artery. You're going to have an intimal media ultrasound. That's right, your cardiologist, push your cardiologist to do these tests. And if your cardiologist doesn't want to do them, get them done yourself. If you have heart disease in your family, if you fit the profile, if somebody's already told you that you're plaquing up, do these tests and then monitor yourself over a period of years to see if you're getting worse. Why? So then you can start to understand the dynamics of how to reduce the plaque 5 years by 5 years by 5 years, year by year by year. You can get these tests to see if, in fact, you're improving the health of the artery. Now, formally, as this article points out that we'll get to later, researchers believe that you couldn't do this. But we've had in the literature mechanisms at work that we'll get to shortly that are very much a part of regressing, reducing dramatically atherosclerotic plaque, the fatty plaque. So first you've got to understand the mechanism. Then you've got to measure to see if, you know, at 60 years old, you've plaqued up. You want to know that, because at 70, it means the heart attack or the stroke. Now, this is relevant. One out of three have cardiovascular disease in this country. We're all being told this line of baloney that it's just a matter of cholesterol and statin drugs and a few other markers. And basically, we just wait and hope. We can do so much better than that. Okay, couple of defining statements. I want to create some order out of the chaos of fats. Because in the chaos of fats, you're going to hear words, lots of words, big words, scary words. So I just want to go through a few of the markers here to give you a sense of, in fact, what you're looking at, from LDL to VLDL to HDL to oxidized cholesterol to trans fats to triglycerides to essential fatty acids to coconut oil, oxidized fats, rancid fats, omega-3s, omega-6s, pro-inflammatory fats, anti-inflammatory fats. It makes people go crazy. If you're out there in the public sector, it's so confusing you want to cringe. So let's get it down to some simple basics. Just a quick review before we punch it out to the conclusion. First of all, fats. Your cell membranes are made of them. Three types of fats. Your cholesterol, which is a fat. Your triglycerides, which is another fat. And if you look at the website, 2728, you've got pictures of triglyceride. That's a glycerol molecule and three fatty acids. Now, fatty acids are chains of carbons that have what we call a carboxylic acid at the end, a carbon with a double bond to an oxygen and a hydroxyl, an OH. And these fatty acids, if you look at the picture on the website, it's so easy for you to do. But if not, we have a head, a glycerol molecule, and three lines of fatty acids. Some of those fatty acids have double bonds on the third carbon, and those are called your omega-3s. Some of those fatty acids have double bonds on your sixth carbon, and those are your omega-6s. At any rate, fats are cholesterol and triglycerides, and those triglycerides, as I said, are made of fatty acids. Then we have the sphingomyelins, and that's the less known fat. The sphingomyelin is a cerebroside, or, here's a word you know, phosphatidylcholine, phosphatidylethanolamine, phosphatidylserine. And those comprise the three groups of fats in the body, all of which the body needs. That's it. Someone says fat, that's what we look at. Now, the fat is a string of carbon molecules, and you can see that on picture 27. You're looking at a bunch of carbon bonded to carbons, bonded to carbons, bonded to carbons. Carbon is an element. It's an organic element. It's an atom that we're all made of. And if you just string an entire train of these carbons, add what I call the carboxylic acid to it, put three of them together in a glycerol, you have a saturated fat. Saturated fats are triglycerides with no double bonds between the carbons. You can understand that. Yes, you can. Triglycerides are a glycerol molecule with three fatty acids attached. Then we've got cholesterol. I put a picture of cholesterol up on the site. It's one of the early ones. It's over there on picture number 14 is cholesterol. There's another fat. You can see the molecular structure of it. Cholesterol, critical for hormone synthesis, critical in the membrane of the cell. And then we've got the sphingomyelins, much of which is in the cell membranes, especially the membranes of the brain. Your nerve cells are so integrated into the sphingomyelins. Your nerve tissue, so integrated into the sphingomyelin. Now, saturated fat has no double bonds. A monosaturated fat is one carbon double bond along that string of carbons. And a polyunsaturated fat, is at least two of those carbon-carbon bonds are double bonded. So you've got saturated fats, you've got monounsaturated, you've got polyunsaturated. And they comprise the different types of oils. If that double bond is on the third carbon, hang in there with me. If that double bond is on the third carbon, you have an omega-3. If that double bond on the fatty acid is on the sixth carbon, you've got an omega-6. Omega-3s are the good fats. Omega-6s are the bad fats. Omega-3s make up the good fats that steal cholesterol from the inside of the artery, that's plaquing it up and bring it back to the liver. omega-6s are the bad fats, and those fats get thrown down to create the arterial plaque. So you can get a sense of your good fats and your bad fats, omega-3, omega-6. And I put a perfect little contrast between your omega-3s and your omega-6s on the website. If you look at print number 30, picture 30, we have the omega-6 fat and the omega-3 fat. And your omega-3s, which are your fish oils, derived from linolenic acid. Those omega-3s, those double-bonded carbons on the third carbon, become your EPA, eicosapentaenoic acid. And then we get the longer chain to your DHA, your docosahexaenoic acid. So your omega-3 fats, fish oil, flax, becomes what? Your EPA, your DHA. What you buy out of a bottle and spend money on comes from food. Your fish oils, flax oil. Your DHA, your EPA, go into your HDLs, your high-density lipoproteins, are composed of your omega-3s. Your omega-3s, through the HDL, travels over to that fatty plaque and says, hey, fatty plaque, there's a lot of me around. I'm hungry for cholesterol. Give that cholesterol to me. And it takes the cholesterol, and then it runs it over to the liver, and the liver eats it up, uses it, converts it to bile. From cholesterol, we make bile. Bile, show number 20 on the show. That bile is receiving all that HDL cholesterol, and then that HDL lipoprotein frees up, goes back into circulation, searches around, and the mechanisms we're going to get into later will go to the artery and take more plaque back. So there's a process going on here that the body's regulating to keep your blood levels of cholesterol low enough, even to the point where it'll start robbing the inside of the artery. Now, in the midst of this very sophisticated mechanism, I have to ask you, how many people you know that have been told they're plaquing up in their arteries? How many people do you know that have had strokes? How many people do you know that have had heart attacks? How many people do you know now that are going to die of strokes and heart attacks or be disabled by them? How many people do you know that have had bypass surgeries and have suffered terribly with their health? When we have a mechanism in the body that'll reverse this. And yeah, I think you can really see just from the format of the show, just 25 minutes into the show, that there are mechanisms that you have to invest some time in to understand the totality of. First, this thing with the cholesterol, your bad cholesterol, your LDL cholesterol. If, in fact, the bile emission is patent, if you move bile out the body, you'll reduce the amount of LDL in the blood. If you defecate regularly, if you exercise regularly, if you eat enough fiber, we say oat bran, we say psyllium husk, we say the fiber from beans. And we talk about 3-4 grams a day of it, so that what? We can bind that cholesterol that the body's already tried to excrete out. If the body's excreting cholesterol because all the portals of exit from your colon to your liver are working correctly, and that cholesterol can't bind, can't go back into circulation, you know what the liver does? It produces more cholesterol. But if that cholesterol, all right, is integrated into the omega-3s, it'll produce more HDL cholesterol. Look at the beauty of that. Look at the beauty of it for someone with high LDL, with high oxidized LDL. If they were, with different forms of psyllium, or the equivalent of it, binding up all this cholesterol, then it wouldn't recycle from the intestine back into the blood. Benefit one. Benefit two, if they move the bile, the liver is going to consistently pull more cholesterol, LDL, which is being sent there, and dump it into the intestine. And since it's bound up, more of it will get out of the body. Then that same person is increasing the amount of HDL. HDLs in what? Well, that's the fish oils. HDLs in flax. I have a great picture. I want you to take the time to look at a picture. That is picture number, just a moment here, where we've got, that's picture, pardon me here. That is picture. That is picture number, I'm sorry. We didn't get that picture up. If you compare the amount of omega-6s to omega-3s in different foods, you can really move your HDL even faster. For instance, olive oil is understood as the sort of layman's premier good oil. And yet if you look at olive oil, the ratio between the omega-3 and the omega-6 is not so different. We talk about the ratio in an oil or a fat that's going to raise the HDL. We talk about that ratio as really what makes the fat most effective in the body. And that ratio is going to vary. When you have something the equivalent of, say, flax oil, you've got a very high ratio between the omega-3s and the omega-6s. So if a fat has very high omega-3 and very low omega-6, then you're talking about the healthiest fat. If they're sort of even with each other, or worse yet, if the omega-6s are very big and the omega-3s are low, well, then you're talking about a fat that's going to create more damage than it's worth. And you've got to be careful, because we always tend to think of animal fats, the saturated fats, as really what we have to worry about. And yet you can take something like canola oil or soy oil or safflower oil. You can take very, very common cooking oils used in carbohydrate production, used to fry foods and so on and so forth, and you're going to find the omega-6s far outweigh the omega-3s, even though it's a vegetable oil. So you really got to understand that this vegetarian thing that basically said, well, it's vegetarian and you don't have a lot of saturated fat, was filled with these double-bonded omega-6s. That are very pro-inflammatory and that are very costly for the body. When you grade a fat, you want to understand the ratio of omega-3 to omega-6. And I apologize for not having that picture on today. I thought I did. But the point is, when you talk about DHA, EPAs, fish oils, when you talk about flax oil, if you look at the numbers, the omega-3s are so much larger than the omega-6s, that you have a great fat. That means you're going to make your LD or HDLs in mass quantity if you get those good fats in. So those HDLs combined with bile flow, combined with binding up the LDL in the intestinal tract, combined up with exercise, leave what? Well, hold that in your mind. Let's go to the inside of the artery. And if you're on the website, picture 15. Now, that inside of the artery there. The inside of the artery has a situation now. That artery that's got all that fatty plaque. The inside of that artery, getting bigger and bigger and bigger, has a problem now. Because the inside of that artery, getting fat with this occlusive plaque, putting you on the way towards the heart attack, doesn't have any more LDL feeding it anymore. You've reduced your LDLs so significantly that really it's got nothing to build the plaque on. And you've increased your HDLs so beautifully, so powerfully, that what you've done now is shift the ratios. Now that means, on the inside of that artery that I hope you're looking at, that's picture 15 on the site, in the literature section. Those HDLs are doing reverse cholesterol transport. Later on, we'll look at that article. And I hope if you can get two screens up, you can click that article on the link at the top of the literature section, because there's something called reverse cholesterol transport. It's the process, the mechanism. The mechanism we have down cold, the mechanism that cannot be argued, that allows the HDL lipoprotein to pull the LDL cholesterol out of the fatty plaque, bind to it, run it over to the liver, dump it off, and excrete it out. And that's the genius of the body that hard science will back us on. Now, a couple of caveats to do that. To succeed at that. And you got to remember a concept here. Anytime you talk about a powerful chemical process in a body, the reverse process is always occurring. So I want you to catch the subtlety. If you send an HDL into a fatty plaque and it pulls out that cholesterol to take it out to have it excreted, in that moment, you're still depositing more plaque. There's no one direction that the body works in. A healing mechanism, a healing physiology, is always about a balance. When you shift a negative balance to a positive balance, when you shift the buildup of plaque to the reduction of plaque, that's where you have your health. Now, I want you to hold that concept. It's a critical scientific caveat. There's no such thing as stopping your LDLs from building plaque, but there is such a thing of balancing the rate at which you remove the plaque from the rate at which you build the plaque. Get that beautiful reality in the cell. You never stop anything. You never stop infection. You never stop breakdown. You just build up repair faster than you get breakdown. So keep that one in mind, because it leads to a very important principle that you must understand. And this is the beauty of it. If you get it, you might do it. Once you have so many HDLs and so few LDLs, meaning once you reduce your cholesterol down to low numbers, 140, 150, low numbers, much lower than what your friend down the street with no plaque needs to worry about. Once you reduce those numbers to that 130, 140, 150 range from right living, all the things we've mentioned, what happens? The HDLs, in a sense, outnumber the LDLs so much that you break down more plaque than that you build up. But you have to reduce your LDLs. Your LDL cholesterol has to get very low. Now that's the caveat. So if you're out there and you've got plaque, for whatever reason you know it, how would you know it? Somebody did a carotid duplex. Somebody ultrasounded your carotid artery and told you you have a 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, 90% occlusion. Somebody told you because of all your markers. Maybe some of you even went out and had some of these ultrasound tests to get a sense of the elasticity of the artery, and with high homocysteine and various other markers and having it in the family, you know you're plaqueing up. Perhaps some of you have angina. Perhaps some of you are on nitroglycerin because you have angina. You don't want to do a bypass surgery, but you're very concerned that you may have a heart attack, which you certainly may. But you may have elected not to make the move yet. Well, here's the point. For you to begin to reverse the fatty plaque, you've got to bring your cholesterol down, your LDL, to very low numbers. I'd say you bring your LDLs down, your total cholesterol down to about 150. I say you bring your HDLs way up to the highest levels that the norms indicate, and even a little higher than that. Why? Because in that balance of trade, then, and here's the point, in that balance of trade, you're going to remove more fatty plaque than you're going to build. And that's the genius of it. If you have fatty plaque, if you're occluded, and you're using herbs and hoping, and you're eating the HDLs and hoping, and you're exercising and hoping, and you're not quite sure if you can reverse the fatty plaque, well, understand, if you just click that link at the top of this page, read that article, do the best you can, and understand and look at the end of that article, the number of references. You've got four pages of references, and it's not a bunch of nutritionists passing around their speculation. These are references from hard science. Look at the number of references that say you can. But in the guts of it, remember this, you've got to bring your cholesterol down to about 150, 140. And that may be a job for you to do. And that may be a job that will depend upon all the things we've discussed in this show. So fat is good. So cholesterol, in part, is a myth. So in fact, we have a whole new slant on this now, understanding that it's the oxidation, the free radical damage on the inside of the artery, and the free radical damage on the LDL itself that will make the two surfaces stick like Velcro. So it's not just the cholesterol, but you got to understand the point here. If you find yourself in an occlusive state, number one, celebrate the fact that you don't have to listen to anybody tell you that you can't melt that plaque. Nor should you be foolish enough to think that your job is to simply find some special herb. We've got herbs out on the market all over the place that are going to make some claims that I cannot trust. Go find something like serratiopeptidase, which is supposed to reduce plaque. Go see if you can find hard science on that. Go see if you can find hard science on garlic melting plaque. And if you can, but I mean hard science. I don't mean some infomercial. I don't mean some article written by a nutritionist. You understand what the internet, you know, this internet has had a very interesting effect on people. We went from being petrified to get on the internet, to getting on the internet, to now using the internet, to having the joy of being able to pull up articles. Please understand, the internet is like any forum. It's filled with delusion. The internet, and you see this even more with Facebook, it's people, it's in a sense, I mean, I'm not knocking it, but in a sense, people vomit their thoughts. You think it up, you spit it out. There's a content issue. There's a content issue with the computer. There's a content issue with all the articles you can Google up. It's that objective mind that understands basic mechanisms that develops a second sense about where to extract truth. The beauty of science is that when you see it in an article like the one that's at the top of the website in the literature section and you click that link, you can see the references. You want to start doing your so-called research that way, not by just pulling up articles by nutritionists on Google. This is where things get incredibly complicated and very, very costly. It's not that people are bad or that people are necessarily evil. It's that people exaggerate in their enthusiasm. You got to be very, very careful with that. So here we have a situation now where you're building up this fatty plaque, you're pulling up your LDL, pulling up your HDLs, reducing your LDLs, pushing up your HDLs, eating the good fish oils, reducing the bad LDLs, the omega-6s, decreasing the inflammation on the overall in the body, physical, mental stress, chemicals, increasing bile flow, and lowering your fatty plaque over time. Now, the next thing that you want to understand is fibrin. Always you have multiple mechanisms occurring simultaneously. So as you're plaquing, you may be increasing your blood viscosity as you increase stasis of blood. What does plaque mean in an artery? If you have a big, big flow, a flood of blood pumping through a clear artery. And you get to a place where you start to have stasis of blood because of plaque. Once you have a slowed flow of blood or stasis, or once you have an increase in blood viscosity, because the blood in general is too thick. Once you have that, you're going to start to what? Drop fibrin. The body's going to produce fibrin where you have stasis of blood. Fibrin is part of the coagulation pathway. You got to understand what a heart attack is or a stroke is. It's in part a plaque, a fatty plaque, generally not a calcific plaque. It's generally a fatty plaque in conjunction with a large blood clot. That blood clot implies, before it becomes a full-fledged clot, platelets adhering to each other and other blood particles adhering to each other to create this big bubble of snag, this big river of blockage next to a fatty plaque. Before you get there, you start deposing, precipitating fibrin. And that fibrin starts to get thicker. And once the fibrin gets thicker, you're going to have more platelet aggregation. If you have a fatty plaque and you're starting to get blood stasis and you're deposing fibrin, what you need to do is understand the power. Now I really can talk about herbs, fibrinolytic herbs. We have hard science. I didn't put it on the site today. I'll leave that to you. We have peer-reviewed journals by scientists, medical doctors included, that will talk about turmeric and talk about nattokinase as powerful fibrinolytic herbs. Natto is a food. Natto is fermented soy. The Japanese eat it. They flavor it with mustard. Very difficult for people to get used to the taste of. But we put it in capsules. Different companies will put it in capsules. A reputable company putting nattokinase in a capsule will deliver to you very powerful fibrinolytic herbs. Now, that's a claim that an herb can make that has very hard science behind it. Again, the theme of the show. I want you to be able to really take everything I say on this show and take it not to nutritional discussions, but to discussions that are a product of a research of hard science. Get that distinction, because this is where we have to build our house in nutrition. This is where the rubber meets the road. I've watched people for years, free of ailment, free of symptom, free of the fear of disease, join the herbal campaign, the natural living campaign, and time and time and time again, the minute something happens, it all goes out the window. I watch people celebrate it, discuss it. I watch people buy herbs, use herbs, get so happy about all the wonderful things that natural medicine will do. The minute they get sick, it all goes out the window. And I'll tell you why. Because they didn't build their house on things that will stand when the wind starts to blow. It all falls down when you get sick. And it shouldn't. This is where it should pick up. And the problem is, we didn't build it on hard science. So turmeric and curcumin, nattokinase. There is an endless amount of literature out there that will attest to the fact that these herbs will break down fibrin. If you just took care of that, even if you built plaque, even if you built fatty plaque, if you made it almost impossible for your body to create a fibrin-built clot, if you challenged it, if you greatly reduced its ability, you'd put yourself in a whole other safety level. Now, there's a use of an herb that you can take to the bank. Nattokinase and turmeric. And, of course, you've got to get the good quality, and we know how to do that. And, of course, you have to make sure that these things haven't been irradiated and that they've been grown correctly, so on and so forth. But the bottom line is, you can understand the real use of an herb if you understand the mechanism. And that's my point. Can you understand the mechanism or enough about the mechanism through which you make and in which you make the plaque? So, we're building quite an argument here for somebody on their way to a quadruple bypass. We're building quite an argument here against somebody becoming senile. Remember, that plaque just doesn't go to the heart. That plaque goes to the brain. And if it's only a 40% occlusion, in other words, if you've only reduced blood flow by 30 or 40%, and you're not going to have a heart attack, and you're not going to have a stroke, who can afford? Can you, at 60 years old, or 70 years old, or 80 years old, afford to have a 20, 30, 40% occlusion? We're not just talking about heart attacks and strokes. We're talking about the ability of your blood to deliver what's in the blood to the cell. We're talking about cellular efficiency. So if you're 60 or 70 years old, and you're not thinking straight, and you don't know where you are half the time, and your memory's not quick and sharp, you can't keep up with your grandkids, you're haunted by the fact that you're starting to slow up, especially mentally. You're not sharp like you used to be. It's sometimes even challenging your ability to get through your day or function optimally on the job. Understand that you've got to look to plaque. When we talk about that arcus senilis, when we talk about these carotid artery tests, when we talk about oxidized cholesterol, when we talk about understanding that you've got a very high free radical profile and you're 60 years old and you're starting to slip up, you don't have to get a heart attack or a stroke to need to understand this. Blood flow to the cell. If you've got an occlusion, you don't get blood, which means you get what? Less oxygen. If you get less oxygen, your cell, isn't it beautiful the way it all works together? Pat yourself on the back if you can follow. Not the kind of show we do normally on radio, is it? It asks more of you. And I assure you, if you want the payback, dig your heels in. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, if you're new to the show. StraightTalk.cc. Get to the website. If you're listening out there on the road, get to the website when you can. StraightTalk.cc, not .com. Get on the archives. Look through the 130 shows. Pick the one that's right for you and listen to the show two or three times. You're going to need to. Don't scan the web and call that research. Don't just keep scanning the web, compiling data that leads to the herb you need to buy to get rid of your symptom. Understand the mechanism. Do not think science is so difficult to comprehend. The cult of science may make you think that way. But believe me, if it's laid out clear, if it's laid out to your common sense, if it's laid out with humility, with the true intention for you, the layperson, to understand it, you can understand enough about any of these mechanisms, any of those materials on the show. We've got to get to the next level of perspective with our nutritional natural health. Get to that website, get to the archive, and if you're really confused, if you've got something, if you've got a health concern where you're spinning around in circles, then you got to call in the troops, and that's 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Let's put it up on the blackboard. Let's take a look at the profile. Let's understand the mechanisms. Let's understand the variables. Let's understand your profile. Everybody likes to think that they need the program contoured for them. Well, the only way you contour the program is with education. Outside of that, holistic medicine can play around with all these specialized forms of testing that give you just the herbal program that's right for you. You see, this really isn't where it's at. Where it's really at is to understand that your profile is built into understanding which mechanisms are working for you and which mechanisms are not working for you. What's your free radical profile? What's your biliary profile? What's your oxidative profile? What's your hormonal profile? And how can you, the consumer, the layperson, understand how they all integrate to help the growth or the reversal of fatty plaque, or to help your energy levels, or to help your memory, or to help your joint pain? That's the mechanism. That's the perspective here. Okay. Lots said today. Now, moving on. Strokes. Keep in mind that the stroke has a structural dynamic to it. Keep in mind that the heart attack has a structural dynamic to it. It's got a structural dynamic and it's got an emotional component. Why? Well, that's called vasoconstriction. Arteries are continually vasoexpanding and vasoconstricting. One of the reasons we love niacin, one of the B vitamins, especially a methylated niacin, is because it enhances the vasoexpansive aspect to the artery. One of the reasons that we love the essential fatty acids is that it enhances the elasticity of the artery. One of the reasons that we love structure is because it pulls apart the fascial webs, the webs of connective tissue that can reduce the pumping mechanism through the arterial system. In other words, when we talk about the artery, we're only talking about the inside of the artery. The outside of the artery is in a space. The space that it sits in can be compressed or expanded. If it's compressed, if it's structurally damaged, you're going to have a reduced blood flow. And there you have it, an insight into what it takes to reduce plaque based upon vasoconstriction and emotional factors, vasoexpansion and structural factors, and the chemical process that drives it. Listen to this show again. Get on the website. If you're really confused, 714-850-1007. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.